Good morning, Northern Michigan, and welcome to Friday Face Off. Rich Calkins, Keith Gay with you. JC will be joining us momentarily. And, Keith, Tigers, we got to talk about them. Of course, they're on a roll. Miguel Cabrera ready to hit his 500th home run, and they purposely wait to play, or for him to play tonight in front of hopefully a big crowd. But man, what a production by Major League Baseball last night with the Field of Dreams game.
Well, you just hit a home run. You know, as excited as we are about the Miguel Cabrera watch and so on, Rich, and should be our lead story for this morning. Three of us came into the studio this morning, and what did we all want to talk about? The game that was played in heaven last night.
Yes.
Oh, excuse me, Iowa.
Iowa, that's right. You're in Iowa.
Was it
heaven? No, it's Iowa.
This is Iowa. It was spectacular, wasn't it? I mean,
unbelievable, Keith. The pregame production, the way they built the field right next to the original field.
Right across the corn maze from it, yep.
Yes, and everything about when Kevin Costner came out of the cornfield, of course, I had goosebumps. And then when the players came out of there a few minutes later,
yeah,
it was just all those emotions from when the movie came out 30 years ago to get brought back up again.
Was it 1989, was it, when the movie came out?
Sounds like,
as we were talking off the air, I'm a bit of a hopeless romantic, hopeful romantic,
sure,
whatever. But that's the movie I can watch 100 times and wind up in tears every single time. JC, what did you think of the game last night?
The Field of Dreams game, were those guys excited to be there?
The uniforms were awesome. The scoreboard, everything about it from my vantage point was phenomenal.
Yeah, it certainly changed a bunch from how they actually first had the field for the movie and everything else. That's one of the great sport movies. When we did our poll of sports movies, where did that end up?
Yeah,
it was up there. I don't remember now. I have to go look back at my notes, but it was...
My favorite part of the movie is Burt Lancaster.
We were just talking about that. When he steps over.
Chills, eh? As much as I liked every bit of it, it ended with a walk-off home run by Tim Anderson, 9-8. 16 of the 17 runs
nice
came by
pitch,
home run.
Jack Britton.
That was the 15th walk-off home run by the White Sox against the Yankees. The very first one, Shoeless Joe Jackson, who is in the movie.
Yes.
I mean,
the movie's about Shoeless Joe Jackson, at least the beginning of it.
You couldn't write a better storyline
that. But I think they missed an opportunity, I got to tell you. There was no first pitch ceremony at all. Who threw out the first pitch? There wasn't one.
Right.
Why wouldn't you bring out Kevin Costner, put him on the mound, and the guy who played his father in the movie, put him behind the plate with a catcher's mitt and let him throw the first pitch, have a catch with his dad?
Right. Yeah.
That's what the movie's about.
Actually, Costner's father has probably passed away.
But the guy who played his father was a young guy, remember? Because he was in his prime.
Yes.
No. There was a lot of ceremony going on already. I agree with you. I was surprised that they didn't have an official first pitch.
They have an official first pitch Tuesday night against Milwaukee at Comerica Park. There's an official first pitch.
Heck, nowadays they have three or four first pitches. You know, they bring a lot of people out. Here's your
turn. They started pretty early.
Yep, next one.
The nice thing is Major League Baseball announced that there will be a game next year like that, and I really hope that this is an annual thing that Major League Baseball brings a couple of different teams in there and does it every year, much like the NHL does the outdoor game on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that's exactly the comparison is how geeked the NHLers are to play.
Players love that game.
To play the outdoor. Well, didn't they finally do a pond hockey game for the NHL?
They've expanded it a lot.
It takes you back to the roots of the game, and they jazzed it up pretty good last night.
Oh, yeah.
I heard those tickets were going for $1,400.
Up to $4,000.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Only it's at 8,000 people, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, Yeah, Yankee. So the Cubbies and somebody next year is going to be
probably.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Cubs. Farm team is in Iowa, is it? Iowa City.
Boys, I don't know when I can collect my bets from you for the Detroit Tigers and the over, but we're getting pretty close already.
Yes, we are.
Unbelievable.
By the way, they're in second place.
Yes.
Yep, by percentage points ahead of Cleveland.
Well, but they got a chance to reinforce it this weekend as the Indians come to town.
The Guardians.
And the Miguel Cabrera watch. The right field seats are already sold out.
I'll tell you what, man. Yeah, I that doesn't surprise me. That's where I'd want to buy, too. About five rows up, and bring my fishing net.
Yeah. Extend that reach.
I don't know if they're going to let you bring your fishing net into Comerica Park.
Well,
I don't even know if they'd let it. You know, I guess you still see kids with gloves in their hands.
Oh, you see 35-year-olds, 50-year-olds with gloves, which I think that's wrong. I think if you're over 12 years old, you can't bring a glove in.
But you know, you always see the highlights guys holding their beer in it.
Yeah.
Let the kids get the ball, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, I don't know if a kid's going to get this ball.
Oh, right.
No.
And you know what is it? I just was saying, Cabrera has what, 11 home runs this year?
12. Think, yeah.
Only three of them are at Comerica Park.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
We talked about this last week a little bit about, you know, some of his numbers and how many home runs he would have had if he played at, you know, Yankee Stadium or even go to Coors Field.
Yeah, or what about that bandbox they just coming from in Baltimore?
Houston. That just goes to show you. I mean, less than 30% of his home runs this year are at Comerica Park.
Right.
So hopefully he gets it done at home.
Yes.
There was a lot of debate whether Hinch would play him. He said he was going to, then he didn't.
Last night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After he had 499, he said, oh, yeah, Cabrera's in the lineup. And I don't know if you read the paper today, then he said he had a change of heart after he took a shower at the hotel room.
After Chris Yelich called?
He said all the right things.
He did, yep.
Most of them BS.
Yes.
Yeah,
we've got tickets to sell. If he hits the home run, we lose 20,000 seats.
That's exactly right. No, they did the right thing. I mean, listen, that's how he's handled Miguel Cabrera almost all season long. Day game after night game, he's got the day off.
In the heat and humidity, 38 years old. Baltimore has been oppressive.
Yep.
Well, plus, the games ended at midnight both nights. So.
Right, they were rain delayed and all of that. And like you said, every post game interview after the Tigers, you could see their faces were just sweating like crazy. I mean, we know how humid it's been around here, you know, down in Baltimore and everything. I mean, it was over 100 degrees on the field last night.
JC, I have to commend you, though. I mean, when baseball season started way back in April, one of the first things you talked about, you were excited about it, the Miguel Cabrera watch. You brought it up first, and I was skeptical about both of these milestones because he hadn't hit, you know, more than 12 home runs the last 3 years because he's been injured. But here we are. He's one away from 499, he's 50 hits away from 3,000, and he could get both this year.
Well, he's going to have to. I mean, he had a 3-for-4 night the other night.
Yep.
He's going to need a few of those.
Yep.
He's got 50 hits to go in, what is it,
45 games.
45 games.
Yep.
Certainly can be done. I mean, if it's 2003, he gets it done before the end of the year.
Right.
So,
So I looked it up a little bit the last night. The best month he's ever had, calendar month, May of 2013. He went 44 for 116, hit .379 in 28 games. The Tigers went 14-14 in those 28 games, by the way. He 12 home runs, 33 RBI, 9 doubles, 23 runs, scored 15 walks in 1 month, but 44 hits in 28 games a moment. He's not going to do that now.
That wasn't his Triple Crown year, was it?
It was his second MVP year. He won his third career Player of the Month award. He was MVP for the second straight year. The Tigers finished a game ahead of Cleveland that year, lost to Boston in the American League Championship Series.
That's the one that Scherzer always bemoans, that what's his name? David Ortiz hit that home run with two guys on in the bottom of the eighth inning when the Tigers had it all wrapped up.
In their outfit, a hunter went flying over the fence, caught him mid-level, and he did a complete flip over the fence trying to go get the ball.
And Jim Leland retired after that season.
Well, that was it. Yeah. You know, bring in Al Smith. Yeah. And the whole thing
and that,
spiraled out of control.
That's correct.
From there. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
That's
right.
But hopefully, like you said, JC, that they're sold out in right field already. Think, I hope the whole stadium is sold out.
Right? I think there's I don't know if it's going to be – you're going to see 52,000 fans in there. You're going to see 35, 37
plus
at
least. I'll take 35, 37.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, for the Illich's sake, hopefully he doesn't even get it against Cleveland. It extends into the
exactly.
Go 2 for 4 that without a home run.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need hits right now.
That's
he's
right.
He's going to get the home run. Yep. That's that's a foregone conclusion. Sometimes these things last a while.
The guys stay
on this number for a long time. I remember when Wade Boggs was trying to get his 3,000th hit, he went the longest stretch of his career without getting
that's
a base hit.
That's right.
And then he hits the home run.
Right. A guy that almost hits gets a hit every night.
Yeah.
And
you start squeezing the sawdust out of your bat, you know, because the pressure gets to you. You know, you can't stop talking about it because people won't stop asking you about it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, Boggs is a player, like, he had a couple years in baseball where he struck out less than 10 times.
Right.
Amazing. Just amazing in the modern game.
What's his name was like that, the guy from the Padres?
Oh.
Tony Gwynn?
Tony Gwynn, just couldn't strike him out.
Yeah.
Just a hit machine. Brett was like that. Guys
that's right.
that just
that's right.
Wasn't Carew pretty much like that
Carew
too?
Was,
or did it, Rod
too,
Carew?
Yeah.
Rod
yeah.
Carew walked a ton.
Yeah,
but it's an interesting week. It's nice to see Detroit sports in a positive light nationally.
Oh, absolutely, it's coming.
And meanwhile, down on the farm, I don't know if you saw what happened. They played a doubleheader in Erie, you know, with Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green.
Easy for you to say.
I know. Torkelson went 7 for 7 in the two games with 3 home runs.
Wow.
In the game, he had 17 total bases.
Wow.
In the two. So he had a couple of doubles in there as well. Riley Green had a couple of home runs. 4 RBIs in one game. I mean, it's unbelievable what these guys are doing right now down in Erie.
Well, he was a couple weeks away from September. But
they're coming.
They've got to come up.
Yeah, they've got to come up. I mean, with the injuries the Tigers have, everything else, and you know,
after
you
got to
be careful. Yeah, that was a hell of a
collision. That was brutal.
I don't think the Lions made a tackle all year.
No.
You don't see a collision like that on the ice in the NHL with two guys going full speed. That was
scary.
It was scary for sure.
What was it? They were both running at over 25 miles an hour.
Two of the fastest guys.
Big bodies, fast.
Oh, they're lucky they didn't collide heads.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. You know, one of the worst ones ever was when Vinnie Johnson and Adrian Dantley slammed heads.
I was 10 feet away from that.
I never collided head on head in a basketball game, but I got a concussion getting my legs cut out underneath me up in the air and landed right on the back of my head.
Yeah, happens a lot when people slam their head against the floor or a field.
Yeah, I don't remember anything for the next day and a half after that.
Yeah.
So my other concussions came a lot easier after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine.
But I can't imagine hitting head to head without any head cover on at all at that kind of speed.
Exactly.
You know, Hill didn't even go on the IL.
Yeah, he did.
They
bruised ribs 10 days.
I saw Badu did. I didn't think.
7 days with a
concussion.
Which is amazing that I've been rolling on the Tigers, by the way, on
good.
Bet of the Day.
Good.
I don't know if you've been listening to Bet of the Day, but we this week were 11-1.
Is that right?
Yeah, including last night's Steelers game.
Preseason
I bet
football.
Preseason football. What do you mean? I bet the summer league basketball.
Yeah.
Speaking we lost the first game. I bet the over, and they didn't even come close. They were like 15, 17 points. So I bet the over the next time because I knew that the Pistons would score a hell of a lot more points. And so that's the only loss I have is in. Ooh. Summer league
gambling is a disease.
Yeah. What about we're talking home runs here. Who's
there isn't any gambling allowed in Bushwood, and I never slice.
who's the leader in the clubhouse overall home run wise for the Tigers? The most home runs ever.
Ever?
I like as a Tiger. These are as Tiger.
Al
home.
Oh yeah, we know.
Al Kaline,
yeah. Well, he has the most, but not as a Tiger.
I thought that he did it now.
No, he's at 361 for Detroit. Al Kaline at 399. Yep. And then Norm Cash at number two with 373.
Really?
This is for Baseball Reference.
Storm
and
Norm.
Some research here. Hank Greenberg at number four with 306.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep, so Cabrera obviously moving his way
I didn't
up.
Know he hit that many home runs with the
Miami,
Marlins.
I was surprised
how old,
as well.
He was only there like 3 years, three or four years.
Yeah, he was still young when he got to Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Dan Dickerson was taught, I didn't hear it all, but I was listening to the game on Up North Sports Radio, and Dickerson was saying that one of the writers broke down some of the numbers from this 499 that he's hit. He's hit,
seven only were walk-offs, which
that's
is surprising.
Correct. That surprised me, too.
Yeah.
But he asked, Simo was working with
him. Who did a great job.
Yeah.
On the radio.
I know Petrie's been good. Simo's been good. Well, I don't know what's going on with Price. Yeah. You know, I don't know if he's ill.
I guess he's got help. I'm guessing he's got health problems.
Right.
I haven't read much about it. But
I haven't either.
He had his cancer scare a few years ago. I don't know if that's returned or what. But you're right. Some of the guys working with Dan are doing a good job. But Dan was...
Dan's pretty easy to work with.
Oh, for sure.
Because he does his homework.
He's great.
But, what count, batter's count, has he hit the most home runs in? And I got it right away. He said, in Dickerson, this was a softball that you hit out of the park. Simo says, I don't know, Dan said, you should get this right away.
Right.
And he said, 2-1? He said, no, 0-0. He's a first pitch hitter. He's hit over 100 home runs with the count 0-0.
Because the pitchers try to get ahead, they're going to groove on.
No, because he, it's going back to a Kevin Costner reference. You know, guys go to the plate and they've been watching the pitcher, and they, it's down to one of three pitches that he's going to get thrown.
Sure.
And depending on who the pitcher is he? Am I going to try to get a fastball past Cabrera before he's ready to
settled
really get
in
the count or whatever, or here comes whatever he threw the batter before. I mean, Cabrera is, on top of everything else, has a fantastic eye and is a smart baseball player.
Yeah, yes,
he is.
You see him talking all the time. You think he's kind of a goofball and stuff, but no, he is a smart baseball player. He knows the pitches. He knows what pitchers want to throw to him, and
he knows how you can get him out.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So we've been so privileged to see him. What has he got? One more year left on the contract for this one.
I think one year.
Yeah.
1 year left. Yeah.
So he will. I don't know if he'll get the K-line.
399.
And he's at what,
361 with his 499.
I don't know.
That's going to be tough.
That means he'd have to have 27 home runs or so. I mean, he'll hit more than 500. I mean, he'll hit 505, 510 maybe, depending on how
this
close
year.
He's going to get to 50 hits
left
in the season.
Right.
But
the statistic that I thought was fairly staggering was that. Only seven players in the history of the game, have had 500 home runs and 3,000 hits.
Yeah.
And two of the guys were steroid era guys, Palmeiro and Alex Rodriguez. So I mean, guys.
Palmeiro is the biggest joke of the ball.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
People barely even recognized that he got 500 home runs or 3,000 hits.
Yeah, I would have lost that in a trivia question for sure.
Yeah. Bonds doesn't even have 3,000.
That's
hits.
Correct.
That's
right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So, history in baseball, when you get to this level, the amount of – what was the other stat? So they were bouncing some of those stats off Simo, and he's hit home runs off of 342 pitches.
I heard
different
that, too.
Pitches.
Yes,
342 pitches.
And
there's guys sitting around, that are watching this now that have been out of baseball for a decade. Yeah, threw Cabrera home run pitch.
I grooved him on.
As he's serving somebody at the Dairy Queen.
Right.
Yeah.
He's tagged Corey Kluber for six or seven.
Six,
right?
Seven. I can't remember who the pitcher that it get. I'm surprised that there's only a guy that was the high that
know,
only
me
given
too.
Up
yeah.
seven
me too.
Home
runs. Me too.
Too.
Yeah.
But, it's been a remarkable career. And the other thing that is going to be interesting is, like we just mentioned, How long will it take him to, you know, to hit the next home run? But I don't think, since both quests are going on, I don't think you're going to see him swinging for the fences because he needs the hits.
That's right. That's right.
So it's going to happen way more organically than, you know, Harmon Killebrew trying to hit his 500th home run, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's the other thing I want to look at. I don't know if we'll get a chance to circle back to it or not, is who are the 27 guys on that list?
The 500.
Yeah, we should do that. And one other thing related to the Tigers that we should mention, because we've been talking about it a lot, they didn't trade Jonathan Schoop.
Yep.
What did they do?
Two-year extension.
What did we say on the show?
A pretty good deal for the Tigers.
Absolutely.
$5 million.
But what did the guy say afterwards? He said, I love it here. Good things are happening here. I want to play here. This is what you want to hear baseball players say about
Detroit playing for the Tigers. We've been really patting A.J. Hinch on the back, and it has so much to do with him.
Right. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's not going to win Manager of the Year or anything.
He sure as hell should.
He should.
Oh, I think so.
I don't know who's going to win Manager of the Year.
I know.
Well, either that or the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But he deserves it. No question. Look at the team.
San Francisco Giants. I mean, nobody would have predicted where the Giants are this year. They're four games ahead of the Dodgers. I won money on them twice this week.
They're
the Diamondbacks. You know, those have been easy bets, and I've been given the run and a half away on those games.
Wow. Yeah. Arizona's all-time bad.
Oh, they are just atrocious.
What we're seeing from A.J. Hinch with the Tigers, players wanting to come here now, it sounds like, and we're seeing that with the Detroit Red Wings, Steve Yzerman in the front office. Players want to come and play for him. As soon as Steve Yzerman called, I said yes, because I want to come play for him.
Right.
Carlos Correa. His contract is up this year.
Yeah.
Will the Tigers sign him? Because he loves Hinch.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would solve your shortstop problem for a couple of years.
It sure would.
Boy, it sure would.
So, that's going to still be a big freaking contract no matter how you slice
it.
But, I mean, you put Correa on this team, and it's a whole different other animal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You bet.
Absolutely.
You bet.
Good things coming for the Tigers. We've had this conversation a bunch. The Pistons have Cade Cunningham now, and things are getting better. We'll see what the Lions have in store. We're going to talk about that next. But really, if you look at it from an unbiased look, I think the Tigers are the closest ones to being back in serious contention.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We'll see what happens. You know, Cade Cunningham has not impressed me so much. I know it's summer ball. He hasn't impressed me as much as Luka Garza.
How good
does Luka Garza look, guys?
How about that?
Well, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Pistons in Summer League. We'll talk about the Lions' upcoming game. We'll have a quick conversation with the boys from the Record Eagle Sports. All that and more here on Friday Faceoff. Finding Fairways is tomorrow, by the way. Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Licensed to print money. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in the studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Rich, you and I are, I don't know if you want to call it fans of Get Up and some of the programs.
Right.
Because the more I watch that show, the more I hate Mike Greenberg. it's amazing how phony that guy is.
I can't watch him.
I'm getting to that.
Right.
I love the rest of the show, but he is...
he panders. I don't like the sound of his voice.
The fake voice. To talk like who's the guy that does the news at 7 p.m. on ABC? I hate that guy too. Who does the news? Who's face tilted? The whole. I can't remember. Anyways,
Mike, the other Mike, the football player.
Golic.
I liked him. I think he carried Greenberg. I actually on that show, and
he was more relatable. Golic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and he was,
authentic.
It doesn't matter. Anyways, so there's so many teams in the NFL that get talked about, other than the Lions.
Yes.
But we will get somewhat of an idea what the Lions have in store for us this year tonight against Buffalo.
Yeah, they'll be going right on at Ford Field, right across from Comerica Park, as a lot of fans will be hopefully watching Miguel Cabrera going for his 500th home run. The Lions will have their first preseason game. Remember, only three games this year, three preseason games, so you might see the starters play.
Campbell says all the starters are playing
For one quarter. It's knee-chewing time, boys.
It is knee-chewing time.
Let's see what happens. Buffalo's pretty good football.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lions are a one-point favorite at home tonight. I don't know if that means anything, but
I'm betting.
The Lions' running back core is depleted. All of them are nursing hamstrings.
So that's good. They'll throw the ball and we'll see what the receivers look like.
We'll see what Goff has got. A lot of pressure on Jared Goff.
Yeah.
And he really can't afford to be bad in the first three series tonight.
No.
They go 3-and-out in all three of his series, and there's just going to be a whole bunch of rumbling.
Right. Here we go. Yeah. It can turn quickly.
Yeah. I heard that Stafford's not playing at all during the preseason.
I don't think Josh Allen is playing tonight either.
Trubisky, Mitch Trubisky's been talking about how much he loves football again and being the backup quarterback to Jared Allen is not going to get him in too many football games.
No.
That's right.
No.
That's right.
For sure.
Because that guy's built like a brick crap house on top of everything else.
Oh, for sure.
If we see a lot of Mitch Trubisky tonight, that doesn't bode well either. He plays pretty well against
He's
had a pretty good career against Detroit.
Well, that's the thing that I think we're going to want to see the most of, is the offensive line as good as advertised, and what have they done with this defense?
Right.
I think those are the two things that we're going to watching the most.
Yep. I agree.
Or you can listen to it.
Yeah.
On Q100.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I totally agree, JC. That's the trenches on both sides. That's exactly where I'm going to be focused on. And again, this offensive line potentially could be one of the better ones in the NFL.
Just in time for Matthew Stafford to be out.
Right.
They get the best offensive line they've ever had. Hopefully the running backs that you mentioned are short-term injuries, hammies, those kind of things, because they're going to need to run the football.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And they're all soft tissue injuries with groins and things like that. Well, hopefully they're not too bad, because you know how groin pulls and things like that for a running back, it could be,
Well, in 3 days, went from the Ravens – Rashad Bateman, first-round draft pick, who I was kind of
out of Minnesota.
The Lions,
he
was right there. I think the Lions would have drafted him in the second round had he made it down that far, because the Ravens had the second or third last pick in the first round.
Right.
John Harbaugh said, well, he's going to miss most of training camp. Now he's having groin surgery.
Oh,
Jesus. Oh, that's bad.
And they're saying that he'll return in September from that. And I'm like, I doubt it.
What are they going to?
He's not a hockey player.
Yeah, I mean, you don't recover from that quickly.
He's not a hockey player. I'm being facetious.
Right.
The kickoff is at 7 p.m. at Ford Field tonight. JC, the over-under is 36.5. Does that mean anything to you? I think that's a really high number for an exhibition game.
You never know what's going to happen in the fourth quarter, though.
Yeah.
See, I didn't – if you look – I'm getting better at gambling. I mean, I'm starting to really understand some of the mechanics of gambling. And I took the Steelers. They were a one-point underdog last night against the Eagles because Roethlisberger, they didn't play a lot of starters.
Right.
But there's a lot of guys that are fighting for jobs, like Dwayne Haskins, who threw a touchdown. And they were down 10-0.
Right.
And they ended up winning 23-16.
24-16.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen in the NFL in regular season too often.
Right.
But you never know what's going to happen in these mop-up quarters.
Yes.
So, you know, the third-string quarterback gets in there, throws a pick six, everything goes haywire, right?
Right.
So you never know.
Yeah, we've all seen it both ways. That they becomes a track meet where they go up and down the field, or there's just no continuity at all, and it just people, there's no...
I like the Lions plus one. The main reason why, and the reason why that bet is that looks that way, Keith, is because it's Campbell's first game. It's preseason.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's... But what did he say? What was the quote he made the other day? There's no garbage on this team.
No turds
on the roster.
That made ESPN. They're talking, and he's talking about chickens. And
how can you not love this
guy? Oh my God!
Man.
I think he's hilarious. I mean, all these different talking heads are just looking at this guy with disdain.
No turds.
What a joke! What a joke! All this stuff, but I love it. He's so relatable. It's just funny. Every Prescott, Keith, as a former sports writer, can you imagine sitting in the pool there?
Especially and then, after the other clown, he's the same thing
over again.
Never said anything. This guy will give you something to work with every time you say good morning.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Kevin O'Connell called me. That was the phone that was going off there, okay? And
love Kevin.
Yeah, and he's that kind of coach. I mean, you know that every single player on the Lions roster really relates to Campbell.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think he's like a player's coach because he seems like he's still tough and everything else. But he was a player.
Yep.
He understands what it takes to get on the field.
Right.
You know, it's not like Belichick where, you know, it's my way or the highway. And that's the way Kevin O'Connell is. You know, his players love him.
Yeah.
You know, he took Joe and the guys to weightlifting camps and everything else, and he had chili cook-offs and all this other stuff. And, you know, I think that's what you need to be a coach now.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got the legends that can go ahead and act like, you know, Nick Saban and this. And maybe that's what's lacking in Harbaugh. You know, Harbaugh might be stuck in this little time zone thing where he's too much like Bo and Ditka to be where he needs to be.
Right.
With these guys, and he doesn't have the rings. To show for it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
No, being relatable is a big deal. You still have to be the coach, and sometimes you have to be the hard ass and things like that, but you can still be coach them up and be relate to these guys.
Yeah.
Where I totally agree that Harbaugh is not relatable. He's kind of an odd dude. He just kind of does. These kids are like,
Back to Campbell for a second. The one thing I like about him is he's played the game. He's played in Detroit.
Yeah.
He's been through, he's seen the rough times, the ugly times, and he can walk in that dressing room and say, boys, you know what? This has been this way a long time. We're going to end it right here, right now.
But he's also, you know, was on the staff with Peyton.
Right.
You know, so he's,
exactly, yeah.
You know, and maybe this is why they like this new coaching staff at U of M. You know, all the guys are super young.
Yes.
Other than Harbaugh. Everybody else, you know, like Don Brown, older
guy.
Everybody on this coaching staff is in their 30s other than Harbaugh. And, you know, Harbaugh probably cannot get out of this, you know, you're playing for Michigan.
Yeah.
This is, you know, that worked for a long time.
Look at this helmet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That worked for a long time.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
It did.
That helmet recruited itself.
Exactly. And, you know, you've got that same thing at Notre Dame. You've got that same thing at USC. But not all these kids buy in that much. There's still a lot of kids like, you know, I've been watching U of M games for a long time. I want to play. Look at Aiden Hutchinson is like that. My dad played here. I'm going to go out and kill myself for it.
Yeah.
But more of it is about winning. And, you know, the one thing that might save Harbaugh is this image and likeness crap because, you know what? A lot of guys are going to make a lot of money wearing the maize and blue in college for image and likeness.
Yes, and that word needs to get out because that will be a great recruiting tool.
It's going to be a great recruiting tool. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino. Up next is a quick conversation with the guys from the Record Eagle Sports section. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. And Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins, who is the newly announced color analyst for TC Titans West Football. And James, I'm sure you saw that press release. We're going to be covering the Titans on 106.3, both football and basketball and select girls games.
Yeah, it's exciting to see that. I'm really excited to see the rejuvenation of high school sports being on the radio in the area. For a while there, it was kind of not a thing, and I was really surprised how little of a thing it was around here. I mean, in the UP, it's huge. Almost every school seems like has a deal with some radio station or another.
No, you know, a lot of it had to do with the fact of the, you know, the old school radio station. I don't want to name names, but it just a guy in the cotton lazy about doing it, and we've been covering the Vikings even before I got involved here, Rich. Rich won a MEB award for his coverage of the Vikings, and we're going to have Tom Devitt, who is a – well, Rich wasn't going to do it without Tom.
Right, yeah. It was a partnership that Tom and I have worked together before, and we get along really well. Does his homework, is a good broadcaster, and I'm really looking forward to working with him.
Yeah, he loves high school sports just about as much as you do, and as much as you guys do at the Record Eagle. And, James, we're going to be talking to you about getting you involved in our scoreboard show on Saturdays.
Yeah, you kind of cut out there.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Anyways, practice has opened up this week. Have you been to any of the practice of Central or West this week?
Actually, Andrew went to Central and West just because West did their first few days of practice out of town in Clare.
Right.
So they didn't. We weren't back in Traverse City until Thursday. And I went to Traverse City St. Francis. And St. Francis looks like I think they're going to be back to what people expect out of St. Francis, which is, you know, the team that has the target on their backs. They kind of weren't that last year, and then they sort of snuck up on people and ended up playing in the state championship game. But after they started at the season 1-2.
Right.
But they look like they'll be a really good team and somebody to contend with in the Northern Michigan Football Conference.
Should be a dynamite game between them and Grayling this year.
Yeah, it really should. Yeah, Grayling's pretty loaded again, JC. And, you know, James, looking at read an article in the paper there in the Record Eagle about how impressive the offensive line from TC Central is. Every one of those kids at least has one scholarship offer to play collegiately. So when you have the entire line getting some type of offer, two or three of them are D1 offers for kids. So that's an impressive core that Central's going to have.
Yeah, they've got a couple of guys with some D1 offers, and then they've got three guys with D2 offers from Mount Union. And if you follow
Mount Union,
football. Mount Union is one of the powerhouse football.
Well, yeah, I think they've won like 20 national championships in D2. And
came and looked at one of the big kids and saw those other ones and just said, you know, hey, we'll gladly take these other guys too.
Well, we had Greg Anderson on, who is West
Vaughn.
Greg Vaughn from TC West last week, and their schedule is murder. So they better be beefed up on both sides of the trenches.
Yeah, TC Central's is pretty competitive like that as well. You know, the Northern Michigan Football Conference teams this season have, with the addition of Tawas to the league, have pretty much an all-conference schedule. There's no non-conference games, at least for a bunch of the teams, like St. Francis. They don't end the season on a, you know, normally they would bring a big downstate team up here or go visit, you know, somebody like Jackson Lumen Christie or some Lothrop or somebody for that Week 9 game to prepare them for the playoffs. But they don't get to do that this year if they finish the season against Kingsley, which will be a test for the playoffs on its own. But so it's interesting with the expansion of that league that that those teams aren't playing nearly as many non-conference games, and it's going to be a lot of battles up here because there's a lot of good teams in that conference, like you said, Grayling, St. Francis, you know, Boyne City, Glen Lake, Kingsley. There's a lot of good schools in that league.
Yeah, for sure. And James, what really has impressed me about TC West, this is their 25th year of since the schools divided and moved on. How consistent these teams have been. They've only had two losing seasons, and in both of those years, they were 4-5. So they've been really a model of consistency throughout the years.
Yeah, West really took off after the split in 1997. Of Central and West, and yeah, they really took off at the beginning of that, and have continued to do that. I mean, they've had quite a bit of stability in the coaching ranks. I mean, they've only had three head coaches in that 25 years. I mean, they had Matt Preston, they had Tim Wooer, and now Greg Vaughn. So they've that stability really helps too. And they've got what it looks like to be a pretty good team this year. You know, they've got a third year captain. Or a captain back in Michael Schermerhorn, who's been the captain of the hockey team for 3 years, and he's back with the football team, and I think he's going to kind of go into that Christian Boivin role last year, where he was that dominant linebacker and running back that they had that was just a game changer. I think he'll go right into that role.
And as we were mentioning, TC West and Central are both playing at the Battle at the Big House to open the season. Rich will have his first game there on Thursday as West has taken on Midland.
Yep.
And then Central plays the next day, and I'm not sure.
I think they play the next game.
They play that night.
That night, right after
West.
Yeah,
they play the next night.
Yeah. I'm sorry, who do they play, James?
7 o'clock. West plays Midland at 3:30, and then Central plays DeWitt at 7 o'clock.
DeWitt.
So basically right after West.
Another good program.
Yeah, there might be a pretty...
Yeah, I mean, 3:30 start makes them the first game in the state to be played.
Oh, wow.
And there's probably going to be 50,000 people, 50,000, 60,000 people in that stadium for those games. It won't look like that anybody's there, but...
Now, James, how long have these TC schools been involved with this Battle of the Big House, or is this their first year?
This is the first year. It was supposed to happen last year, but as those games were obviously canceled because of COVID, with the first 3 weeks of the season being wiped out. But they were supposed to do this last year, which would have been the first time for them. So it's going to be a pretty big deal for the programs, for the kids and everything to go down there and play in that stadium and have that experience. And we've had some other teams around here that have done similar things. St. Francis has played baseball at Comerica Park, and Traverse City West went down and played at an outdoor game, I think, in Comerica Park one time in hockey, things like that. But this, with a game like this at the Big House, is pretty special.
Yeah, they've been doing this Battle of the Big House for 6 years.
Six, okay.
But this is the first time a Northern Michigan team have been in it. James, we're going to let you go. We've got a whole bunch of other stuff to cover, but we're going to be ramping up our stuff with the Record Eagle as we get close to the kickoff of football and fall sports. So thanks for joining us on Friday Faceoff.
No problem. Next week we can talk about all the stories that we got coming in our fall preview tab that will be coming out the week after that.
Excellent.
Awesome.
We will do so. Thank you, sir. What's the Get Around podcast?
We're gonna start that back up on Monday. I'm not sure exactly who the guest is going to be this week, but it's just going to be Andrew and I and maybe Harrison Beebe from Channel 7 and 4. And we'll kick back up and talk a lot of football and look ahead to our preview tab and some of the stories we're going to have in there and just a lot of chatter about the resumption of high school sports.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, James. James Cook from the TC Record Eagle Sports Department. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Friday Face-Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Rich, so we saw the debut of Cade Cunningham with the Pistons, and they sure looked good in the first quarter of both their games.
They sure did. Cade Cunningham jumped out to a red-hot start in both of his games, draining threes.
Yep. The Pistons lost both games. I don't know. You know, at first there was talk that the Pistons were going to try to win the summer league and everything else. I don't know, A, if it's a realistic, B, if it's important. Cunningham has looked good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's shooting less than 50% from the floor. I'm not crazy about, but, he's just starting to learn. It's going to be interesting to see how he and Hayes are on the floor at the same time.
I agree. I would like to see, at points, because watching both games like I did, I would like to see Cunningham, let him be the main point guard for a while, whether it's a game or two, just to see how, because it looks like Killian Hayes has been the primary point guard so far.
Well, plus, but Hayes looks like he wants to be more offensive, and his offensive game is not good.
Right.
Just frankly, it's not good. He's not a really good shooter. He's a fair ball handler. He's not a great ball handler.
Right. He's got that little floater in the lane. That's probably his best shot right now, that left hand when he comes in and puts it up from 6 to 8 feet. But you can't make a living doing that.
He hasn't impressed me. Yeah.
Killian Hayes, really?
Yeah, no.
I like his defensive effort.
His defense is good, but, you know, he needs to be more assertive as a playmaker, and especially with some of these other guys on the team, go ahead and let them do the scoring. Yeah. You know, he needs to be an assist, pass first, point guard.
If Killian Hayes is a serviceable point guard, wasn't Cade Cunningham's calling card the fact that he could play four positions?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you move him somewhere else?
Because he's not a quick distributor of the ball.
Right.
He doesn't. No, I'm not talking about Cunningham. I'm talking about Hayes.
Okay.
He doesn't make really quick decisions.
Okay.
It's not. He's not like Kyrie Irving or some of these other guys that, you know, jump into the action and get the ball moved off quickly.
Part of it is he missed most of the last season. He was hurt.
For sure.
He's still a developing player.
And they really, right now, with the summer league team, they do not have an athletic big guy right now at all. And it's killing them. They're getting killed on the glass every night. The opposing teams are getting two and three tries at it. And they're getting pick and rolled to death. They can't fight through the pick up top. It's just it's basic basketball, but that's some of the simple stuff they're getting killed at right now.
Well, you know, I don't know who's going to take that role. I mean, they got rid of Miles Plumlee. So I'm trying to think.
Isaiah Stewart, supposed to play, but he's got that, still recovering from that foot injury.
They didn't want to push him in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and Stewart is a very good defender, so that will change the dynamic some part. But as I was saying off the air, the guy that I've been impressed with the most is Luka Garza. You know, we mentioned why we thought he would be drafted in the second round. A small, you know, bad feet, plotter, slow. We know he could shoot. He's got good instinct. He's got great basketball instinct,
but
he's lost. It looks like he's lost at least 10 to 15 pounds.
Yeah, they say 27 pounds is what. And look at how toned he looks, too. It wasn't just lost weight. He's actually looks more muscular now because of that lost weight. Some guys lose weight, and they just lose the weight. You know, but he's firmed up also.
His foot action looks better.
Yeah.
His want to looks a hell of a lot better. So he will be an interesting story to see where he fits in.
Because he's got 3-point range. He's a legitimate. If you could get him the ball, he'll drain threes.
He's already developing as a cult figure.
Yeah,
him and his father.
Yeah. What was that article about, Keith? Did you read that whole thing?
Other than the two of them together are a great story.
You know what he does that I like to see is that he's always rolling to the basket.
Yeah.
You know, whether he's shooting or not, he follows his own shot, but he's always going to the basket.
Yeah.
So he's looking for rebounds. And, you know, that was it's not something it's an art that you don't see nearly as much as you used to. Not that they're the same size or anything else. But he's got a touch of Kelly Trpiuka in him. That's what Trpiuka used to do.
Right.
He followed the ball.
Yeah.
The ball
yeah.
used to find Trpiuka all over the place. And I still call him the greatest garbage player I've ever seen in my entire life.
Right.
He had more points off of picking the ball, off the floor, throwing it in.
Yeah.
You know, and it just he magically went in. And now Garza's got a little bit of that in him
because
he's just a scorer. And, you know, coaches talk about that all the time.
Right.
You know, or like never talked about me that way. Coyne's not a scorer. Kelly Trepucco is a scorer.
Right.
Garza's a scorer.
They
he's
find
used
the ball
and a lot of points.
Yeah.
And that you don't learn that overnight.
No, you know how to position yourself on the floor, and it's an art form. There's no question.
We sure sang that guy's praises when he was at Iowa. You know, we didn't like it when they were playing against Michigan or Michigan State because he was a great college basketball player.
Yeah.
And I wish. Frankly, shocked to see that the Pistons got him at 57 in the draft.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. But
because of his lack of athleticism in college, we thought both that
he didn't have to be athletic.
Right. He didn't. Well, I mean.
You know, he's at Iowa. He's in the Big Ten. You know, but kudos to him. He realized almost immediately that I've got to get better at a lot of different things if I'm going to have an NBA career. And I think he can have one.
Very self-aware of what he needs to work on, what his strengths are. So I really like that in a player.
I want to know how much John Boeheim is working with these young guys. You know,
that
could be – he sounds like a John Boeheim project.
Right.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
So that was – the Pistons are back at it tonight.
Tonight on NBA TV, by the way. And then tomorrow night back on ESPN. Yeah. Did you see both Jalen Green and Jalen Suggs both got hurt last night?
Yeah.
What hamstring for Jalen Green just on a jump shot came down awkwardly, and so that didn't look good. And then Jalen Suggs driving to the hole got fouled and fell down on his wrist and hurt his wrist.
And have you seen how good Davion Mitchell is?
Oh, yeah.
I told you.
That guy is.
I wouldn't have taken him,
because he's just not very big.
Doesn't matter.
I know, but.
That guy, I mean, I know he's not the same height as Russell Westbrook, and we didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
Russell Westbrook to the Lakers.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we talked about it off the air. This is a bad move for the Lakers, but they've managed to fill in all these
with a bunch of shooters,
a mid-level exception, old guys, Carmelo,
really
Anthony, no doubt. They what would they call it? Somebody is calling them the LARP.
that's a good one.
That's
a good one.
But you know. And load management is going to be critical for this team. But, you know, Carmelo Anthony is probably going to have a fantastic year.
Right.
You know, playing with his best friend. The only thing he doesn't have on his resume is an NBA championship. It's going to be a lot like, you know, this past year. Injuries are going to determine who's going to win in the NBA. It never used to be that way. That's an NFL thing, not an NBA thing. But it certainly was this year. And, you know, if the Nets can stay healthy all year long and the Lakers show up with, the wild bunch, then it's going to be an interesting season in the NBA. It might not be interesting during the season, but as we make the stretch run where the Lakers are going to try to finish into the playoffs, where the Nets are going to be, you've got the defending champion Bucks, who are, you know, like the fourth worst odds to make it back to the NBA championship.
Right. They're getting no respect at all.
That's surprising to me. That's surprising.
Well, you know, I you're right, it is, because after we saw Antetokounmpo just become the dominant force.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're basically telling them, you guys got lucky last year because of all the injuries.
You know, and let's just say, you know, the Golden State Warriors, if Thompson is back and 100% healthy, that's going to be a good team. Although, I cannot believe they didn't take Davion Mitchell.
I know.
He'd been perfect for the Warriors.
I
think that was just a massive blunder by the Warriors. But, you know, hey, they're smarter. We'll see how smart they are.
Right.
Go ahead, Keith.
Well, we started the show talking about Field of Dreams, right?
Right.
And the game last night in Iowa and so on. All of our attention tonight, most of our attention is on Cabrera and the Detroit Tigers coming home, one home run away from 500.
Yep.
But there's another really, really, really good story, a story that I love. A young guy named Jacob Robson from Windsor, Ontario.
Yep.
Grew up in Windsor, Ontario. 26 years old, is going to make his major league debut tonight. Wednesday night, he called his parents in Windsor. This is a column from Jeff Seidel of the Free Press. Late Wednesday night, Jacob Robson called his parents in Windsor, Ontario with some huge news. He goes, "Where's Dad?" said his mother, Jill Schroeder, describing the moment. And I said, "He just went to bed." It was around 11:15 Wednesday night. "Wake him up," Robson said. And I was like, "Why?" Schroeder said. I need to talk to you guys. She woke her husband up. We were like, what's up? Schroeder said. His dad's lying in bed. I'm holding the phone, and we were like, what's the matter? Is everything okay? Do you need some help? Little pause, and Jacob Robson says, I got the call.
That's incredible.
So who's he playing for, the Indians or the Tigers?
The Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
Now, what's he? What position?
He's an outfielder.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, that, you know, that collision in the outfield that we talked about, they're missing two-thirds of the best outfield that they've had in years and years and years, maybe ever, at Comerica Park. This kid gets the call. And we get to watch him play tonight, and I hope he hits a home run.
Like Keith said, he grew up in Windsor. Oh. Started the year at Double-A Erie and hit really well for 15 games, moved him to Triple-A Toledo, and he's hit really well there.
He does nothing but hit.
Yep.
Nothing but hit.
Not a big dude at all, but...
they brought Short back up, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's
getting Nunez, and he hit a home run last night. So.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to figure out this team. You know, I bet the under last night for the Tigers because of the injuries, right? So, and I might be looking at that tonight. You know, they have their trouble with the Indians, but how much juice is there going to be in the stadium for Cabrera? This is probably a game I probably won't touch.
Right.
It's just too hard.
How do they react to the emotion of everything?
The odds will be way down on Cabrera hitting a home run instead of this plus 500 or 600, probably plus 250. So it's probably not worth betting. So just, you know, from a gambling perspective, it's a hinky game.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, pretty good pitching performances the last two nights. Oh. Tarik Skubal, second game in a row.
Back-to-back.
And then Matt Manning last night.
Ooh.
Really, really good.
Except for it was the freaking Orioles.
But
I'm sorry, they only have three legitimate hitters on that baseball team.
And they hit home runs.
Keith, you'd get some of the guys out of it.
But Skubal, his prior pitching performances against Boston.
Casey Mize slipped a little bit. Three home runs.
And Skubal's coming.
That's right.
I know. And that's a bandbox.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mize gave up a couple of, you know, solo home runs.
Yeah.
Managed to win the game, although he himself said, I really didn't pitch that well.
Yeah.
But when it's 100% humidity in Orioles Park,
brutal.
You can see some balls fly out of there. But, you know, let's not kid ourselves. It's not the 27 Yankees the Tigers just swept.
No, no doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, in fact, part of me is very, very upset that we won't see the Orioles again this year. And then part of me, from a baseball standpoint, is like, thank God, and maybe they should just play the Diamondbacks the rest of the year.
Well,
or the Cubs. Yeah. Oh, my God, my Cubs. Thank God the Giants are playing good baseball so I can forget about the Cubs. You know, I still got +1400 on my Giants winning the World Series.
Good. Whoa, that's a good bet.
$25 on that, baby.
Bet.
Wow.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on Friday Face-Off. Thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, where you can bet the Lions preseason game tonight. You can start looking at a whole bunch of prop bets for football.
Yeah.
They're loaded.
Yeah.
They're a lot of fun. Some of those prop bets... You know, don't have to put a lot, you know, like I think, what is it, the Lions are +3,500 to win the division. I mean, there's not a lot of faith in Vegas on the Lions. But, you know, after they beat the Bills, maybe those odds will come down a little bit. So bet it before that happens. Of course, you can listen to that game. You can listen to the Tigers here tonight on Up North Sports Radio as Miguel Cabrera marches towards history, or if you want to hear preseason football, it'll be over on Q100. So we'll see you next Friday.